I'm just going to take a moment's silence when we bring ourselves before God, and just these last couple of lines. For thou hast died for me, thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. So as we bring ourselves before God, we just hold that in our hearts. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. So it's just three more verses, the next step on from where Ron left us last week. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians, in him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. And what a beautiful earth. On our way down this morning in the car, I just noticed the really dark sky against the sun shining on the trees. And it just made me think that it was all there already, but I just saw it differently this morning because it was so beautiful. So even on this rainy morning, there's still things to see that are beautiful. Ephesians, and I picked this up from downstairs. This is a membership form here for all our contact details. And right at the bottom is a bit there where you have to put your signature. It's a contract. It's something that we formally agree to, giving our information, and then we sign it at the bottom to say that this is okay. A contract, and we sign them all the time, don't we? All the time, in various ways. We put our signature to things. And I don't know about you, when I was very little, I used to spend hours with a piece of paper practicing my signature of what that would look like, so that when I was then asked to sign something, I know that it could only be of me that had signed it, it would have flowed from my hand. So it was a confirmation of my agreement to something that was from me and that could only have been from me. And it was a commitment that I'm making, like on that form, I'm saying, yes, it's fine, I agree. I'm making a resolution that this is right. So when Paul says to the Ephesians that the Holy Spirit that they believe in, they've been marked by a seal of God, it's a confirmation, an action, a resolution. It's a commitment of God to those people, to the people who are chosen. So a seal is a bit like a signature, as we would know. But I think probably back then, they would have had a wider understanding of what a seal would have meant. So a belonging to, or a branding, like they would brand cattle, or they would have branded servants then. So it became a binding, it's an agreement of identity and of belonging. So in the seal, they belonged. And in the same way, right the way back through almost to Genesis, there's kings and rulers who wore signet rings with their embossing on there, which would mark their authority. So leaders would put their signet ring into melted wax to confirm the identity, just like a signature would do today. And it was so trusted that it confirmed anything. And so when Jezebel stole the king's signet ring, she was able to bring about and to orchestrate Naboth's execution so that the king could inherit or have the vineyard. So it was a well-known authority that that was passed over in this seal. And I think it's a little bit like passwords today on computers or PIN numbers when you're getting money out of the bank, that we're told not to disclose them, not to pass them on to anyone else, because in our putting it in, we're making a contract. We're making an agreement that that was indeed us. So with all that in mind, things that you probably already know, what does it mean to be sealed? What does it mean to have that seal of the Holy Spirit placed upon you? So I was thinking about other things that we might belong to. So the Scouts, the Guides, the British Legion, other organisations that we want to join, that we engage with, and we sign up to a set of rules of how that is going to be, and then we get the badge, or we get accepted into membership of that organisation. So we belong and we wear the identity of that, but we abide to a set of rules as part of that organisation. So when Paul is writing on there that because of the Holy Spirit, because of this seal, they are being adopted into this unity, adopted into belonging. It was the Roman understanding of when you were adopted, you had the same rights. So you could be adopted as a slave into a household. And if you were adopted by the owner, then you had the same rights as all the other children. And so when Paul says about being adopted, he's saying, in that you have the same rights, you have the same unity, you belong, and you are accepted. So in essence, he's saying that this seal of the Holy Spirit means that you are accepted and that you belong. The Jews who first believed and the Gentiles who now believe are adopted into this freedom because of the seal of the Holy Spirit, that they belong in Christ. So if we wear the seal of the Holy Spirit, how do we recognise that in ourselves and in other people? Because faithfulness reveals the same marker on us. What does it look like to live with that seal of the Holy Spirit on us? When we meet someone, how do we recognise that? Paul says that the Holy Spirit is merely a deposit of what is to come. It's a promise of entering into eternal life with God. So it got me thinking, to what is a deposit? So when you buy a house and you say you're going to buy it, on the day of exchange of contracts, you pay a deposit. And at that point, you are committed to paying the rest of it. And it's a commitment for the future. So in the same way, when Paul says that this is a deposit of what is to come, he means that this future hope is extraordinary. If the Holy Spirit that moves within us now is just a glimpse, a tip of the iceberg of the kingdom to come, then what will the rest look like? How amazing. How do we then start living with that tip of the iceberg now? How do we bring about the kingdom in us now? How do we help that to dwell within us? You are adopted to him. He has committed to you, and he marks you with his seal. You are his. He is your master, your father, and he holds you and he protects you. And he offers safety in your belonging, whatever life throws at you. So with his seal, you're transformed to live like Jesus does, to have your heart set on kingdom things, which probably is difficult for us to really appreciate. But it's loving beyond the line. It's giving beyond what is sensible. It's serving beyond the cost to ourselves. It's trusting in God's hold on us. And then we're sealed with his identity. So what's our part in this? I think being sealed is not a passive act. It's not like coming along and putting a stamp on us and saying, oh, that's it, we're done. It's more than that. Because when you are branded with something, I think we're like the wax. So as we become soft and moldable and ready to be changed, and then the seal goes onto that hot wax, and then we are marked with the image of the living God for everyone to see. So we need to be soft like that wax. It's a two-way thing, belonging and understanding, and being ready to be changed and moulded into the image of Christ. So in the first part of the letter, Paul is wanting Ephesians to find the unity together in Christ before he then goes on later to turn his attention to what it means to be church together. So for us to know that we are held in this unity of Christ with the Holy Spirit, let's try and catch that breeze. Get caught up in the Holy Spirit blowing past. I think the passages are difficult. At the beginning, it talked about, Ron touched on it last week, about predestination. And I think if we read some scriptures, like in Revelations, it talks about 144,000 who were going to have the seal, which suggests that it's just a few people. But I think it's different to that. Because I think we should see it like this, that we are already in Christ. We are already sealed in his love. We are already in unity with him. It's only ourselves that separate us from God. It's only our struggles that hold us away. It's only us that doesn't recognize it. When we know it and we are sealed in his love, then we are free. We are free to dance. We are free to live. And knowing that it's not about us, and that we are gathered in this collective unity of Christ. I want to read the passage again, but I'm going to read it from the Message this time, which is a more modern version of it, and I think probably it's more helpful in understanding it. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, the message of your salvation, and you found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first instalment of what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Amen.